today, I want to ask you to think for a minute about someone who at some time was sent into your life that you would have to say, you know, that was just because God knew I needed them or I needed something. You would be able to say, this person came into my life, this happened because they were sent by God. It might have been that maybe you were just having a particularly dark day or night, and they showed up, and God was evident in their showing up. It might be that you will think of that person who you met somewhere, and they introduced you to the gospel story. They told you how they had come from a place of darkness in their own life and a place of sorrow and struggle and of need. They told you that that they were one who had trusted and put their faith and trust in God, and they told you how you also could receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Those people are sent by God. Well, today I want us to look at some stories about someone else who was sent by God. This would not particularly be a story of a person who was sent by God, but we're going to look at several stories in the time leading up to the birth of Christ that it's important for us to know that God was involved in other people's lives in order to bring this all about. Today we're going to talk about one who was sent by God, whose name was Gabriel. Gabriel. Who was Gabriel? Gabriel was the angel of the Lord. He was the angel of the Lord. And we think about this, and we have to know that he was uniquely and specifically sent by God. The first time Gabriel's name shows up in the Bible, at least that I've been able to discover, is in Daniel, the book of Daniel. As Daniel is speaking of the apocalyptic things that are to come, the time of the end of the age, and as he is explaining some things of vision in order to help Daniel understand, we find in verse 15 of chapter 8 of Daniel, just to give you this, while I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there stood before me someone who appeared to be a man. I heard a human voice calling from the middle of the Uli, Gabriel, explain the vision to this man. And so he approached where I was standing when he came near, and I was terrified and fell face down. Son of man, he said to me, understand that the vision refers to the time of the end. So this is Gabriel, kind of his first introduction in the scripture. Doesn't mean there weren't angels involved prior to this, but this time is the first time Gabriel appears to be named in the scriptures. Well, in the book of Luke, we find the beginning of a series of visits of the angel Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, whose name is Gabriel, who came and visited with the people in these early days. And so in Luke chapter 1, I've got a lot of verses because I want this story told, okay? So part of it I might just tell a story, but I'm mostly going to read these verses. And so the first time that we see in this particular time period, just before the birth of Jesus, is when the angel Gabriel came to a man named Zechariah. Zechariah, if you'll remember, was married to Elizabeth, and Zechariah and Elizabeth were old. I don't know how old exactly, but they were old. They were well past years of childbearing. But in verse 5 of Luke chapter 1, the scripture says, in the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth could not conceive. And both of them were well along in years. When his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear. Do you hear a theme there? Daniel was terrified and fearful. Here, Zechariah was terrified and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." And you're going to hear that theme every time the angel shows up. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But it's an experience that will be a first-time experience for everyone, and likely maybe a one-time experience, except maybe for Joseph, as we'll hear. But we see here that he said, "Don't be afraid, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." "How can I know this?" Zechariah asked the angel. "For I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, amazed that he had stayed so long in the sanctuary. And when he did not come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was making signs to them and remained speechless. And when the days of his ministry were completed, he went back home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. She said, "The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor on these days to take away my disgrace among the people." Now, we see this with Zechariah, and we see this interaction that he has with the angel Gabriel. Such an amazing moment for him. Yes, he was terrified. Yes, he was very afraid. And yet the angel spoke to him, perhaps in a calm and tender voice, in order to say, "Don't be afraid. Everything's fine. You're going to be okay. In fact, the Lord is doing something amazing here. And there are things coming that you have heard about and have read about in the scriptures that had been prophesied, and they are now going to be fulfilled through your lives." And so Zechariah became the one who would be the father of John the Baptist. Isn't that amazing? But in it all, this conversation and interaction with Gabriel was so important, because Gabriel came to Zechariah so that Zechariah could know what God intended for his son and allow all of those things to take place, and of course be diligent as an earthly dad to be able to raise this son up in the knowledge and teaching and instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we all have in our hearts as we raise our children, that they would know Jesus, that they would follow him and be ready to speak the truth of his word. Well, Gabriel was sent by God to Zechariah. The story goes on, and it says in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in, That's where I want to pick it up. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. And then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You imagine those words as a young girl, a teenager. You have found favor with God. And now listen. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her, who was called childless, for nothing will be impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary, "and may it be done to me according to your word." There's so much more that we could read. I want to just acknowledge what is said next, because in that next part of the story, it tells us that Mary had gone to visit Elizabeth after she had learned this, and after it had been revealed to her that her cousin was about to bear a son as well. And Mary came to Elizabeth, and as soon as Mary spoke to Elizabeth, the scripture tells us that the baby, John, leaped in her womb. You remember what the angel of the Lord said to Zechariah? "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb." I think that was the moment. I don't even know if I've ever heard anybody else say that, but I just think that's the moment. When he heard from the womb, John, the infant baby, not yet born, heard the voice of Mary, knowing that she had already conceived. Well, what did John know? He didn't know anything, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit because of the very presence of God in that room in that moment. What an amazing time. And a time of fulfilling the prophecy spoken to Zechariah through the angel Gabriel. I think that's so exciting just to think about. And the very reality of the Holy Spirit being with John. And of course, we know that John went on to become the one that we call John the Baptist. And he was the one who had been given the charge to prepare the way of the Lord and to speak boldly the things of truth in that way. Well, let's depart from Luke for just a minute. We've got these two visits from the angel Gabriel. And he has seen now Zechariah. He has seen Mary. But let's go to the Gospel of Matthew now, in the first chapter of Matthew, verses 18 to 21. Just a few verses this time, a much smaller portion. But here we find in the book of Matthew, in verse 18, The birth of Jesus Christ came about in this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. Now, as far as he knew, Mary had done something shameful. He loved her. He desired not to hurt her. But she had done something disgraceful. And so he needed God to send him a messenger. He needed to hear from the Lord himself. And so, verse 20, but after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him, and he married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. And he named him Jesus. Wow. You know, there's not a man in this world who would feel good about the one that he has pledged to marry coming up pregnant, and he knew that he didn't have anything to do with it. There's not a man that you or I know, even in our world today, as terribly broken and sexually destructive as it is, who would be pleased with that experience. And this time was different. It was long ago. And certainly there was, as we see in the New Testament church, there was a lot of sexually broken people that were there. As you read through the letters of Paul to the churches and to the Corinthian people, we know that there was a lot of brokenness. Sin has always been a part of this world. But this would have been a very difficult moment for Joseph. When Mary came and told him, I'm just beginning to understand it myself, but yes, I'm with child. And so we think about this and we think about Joseph's experience and the utter importance of Joseph hearing from God. And of course, God sent the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, once again. And Gabriel visited Joseph. What an important moment for that to be. And if you think about it, you go on, and there was one more opportunity for the angel to visit with Joseph. Because in verses 13 of the same chapter, of the next chapter, chapter 2, after they were gone, verse 13, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to kill him. And so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and he escaped to Egypt. And he stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son. And then just a few verses later, the angel appeared to Joseph once again. And he said, get up, take this child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, because those who intended to kill the child are dead. So he got up and he took the child and his mother. Do you suppose that Joseph spent the rest of his life wondering when Gabriel might show up again? Here he's had three visits from Gabriel. One, to tell him everything's going to be okay. Two, to tell him that everything's a mess and he's got to run. And three, to say, it's going to be all right. You can go back go home. Establish life there with Mary and your son, and the Son of God, whose name is Jesus. So exciting to me to think about those visits that the angel had made, and how Joseph himself must have been kind of just curious. Well, will the angel ever speak to me again? Well, there's one more time that we see the angel. And I think because he's been such an intimate part of the rest of this story, we can fairly conclude that it had to have been Gabriel. On the night that Jesus was born, in Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 8, it says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Gabriel must have been a terrifying thing to see for the first time, right? A terrifying experience. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people whom he favors. And when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. What a beautiful and wonderful story to remember as we begin this time of Advent, that it all began in this time frame. It all began with God sending a messenger, sent by God. Now, I can't leave this idea today and let you think that God is done sending. Because God is still in the business and doing the work of sending. I don't know exactly how he uses angels today. I know that angels have been a part of and involved in lives from the earliest times and even till today, and will be continually. Very rarely did they appear in the way that the angel Gabriel did. But I can assure you that there have been times in your life and in mine where we have been impacted by the involvement and the work and the help of angels. And it may be that the angels sometimes have used some experience in our lives to draw us closer to God. But the intent of that is that the Holy Spirit will cause every one of us to be born of Him and to come to know Him. And so today, you and I have to remember, we must remember that the sending work of God is not done. It's not. He has sent and is sending you into your world. In Acts, let's just visit that for a brief moment. Jesus was having really this last conversation, this last earthly conversation that he would have with his disciples. And he said, they were saying, you know, when is all of this going to take place? Are you restoring Israel right now? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. I think it's important for us to know this. This is something that is all under the authority of God. And then we come to verse 8, where he says, but there's still something for you to do. All right? No, you're not going to take up swords. You're not going to do physical battle for me. You've already learned that this is a spiritual warfare and nothing else. It is more than that. It is that God, by his own authority, has established these things. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be. And my friends, all of those 12 and all of the other disciples who were following Jesus are dead today. All of those others are with Jesus in glory. But that means that he has continued to send time after time after time, year after year after year, as we've spoken about the International Mission Board this morning. Several times every year, they commission groups of people who have surrendered their lives, sometimes hundreds at a time, who have surrendered their lives to go into the world to some place where we, as a church body, are involved in sending them as we give to the Lighting the Mission offering, as we give through the cooperative program, as we share our own lives, and as we pray for them as they go to all of those places in the world. But my friends, that is not the end of our work. Our work is to go where we are. Our work is to continue to go and to speak the truth and give the message of the cross to people who are without Jesus. That begins in our homes, with our children, with our parents, with our loved ones, with our spouses. That begins then, continues then on with our neighbors and others who we have opportunity to speak to. But my friends, today, we need this reminder that we also are sent by God. We have a purpose that is no greater or no less than what the disciples heard from Jesus. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Friends, I want to ask you, do you know that you are sent by God? If you're not sure, I want to assure you now that if you have received the message and the word of Christ, and if you've received Jesus himself as your Lord and Savior, then you are sent by God. You are. How do you do that? Well, we're going to spend time over the coming days and months helping you know at least, in the very least, how to present a gospel story to someone else. There are some sweet ways to do that I think you can grasp on. Every one of us can grasp on to very easily, even if it's something as simple as putting a gospel tract in our pocket so that we can pull it out and share it with someone and say, God loves you. He sent his only son to die for you. And I love you, and I'd love for you to consider and put your trust in Jesus. Are you sent by God? Yes, you are. Are you going? There's the hard part. Are you obedient? I'm not going to preach a whole nother message about obedience right now. But I think sometimes obedience begins with really understanding the task. And let me just give you the simplest explanation of the task. Go and tell someone else who does not know Jesus what Jesus has done for you. It's as simple as it can be. And then love them enough to help them to discover how to meet Jesus as well. Let's pray. Lord, today we give thanks and we give praise to you for the way that you've revealed yourself to us throughout all of the ages. Lord God, if we think about all of the stories of the Bible, from Adam to the book of the Revelation, as we think of how you spoke to people through Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, and all the prophets, through the kings, through David, and how you revealed yourself to him and related to him and loved him even in the midst of his brokenness and sin. And then, Father, as you came, Lord Jesus, as you came to identify with us in our humanity, you became a man. And that's how great the love of God is. Because as a man, you paid the penalty for our sin, for not only were you a man, you were full of all of the deity and the glory and the greatness of God, and you were the only one who could fulfill all righteousness through the way that you lived. And in that, then, you became that final sacrifice through whom we are able to come to the throne of grace and receive the gift of life everlasting. Thank you, Jesus. Will you come to someone's life here today? Perhaps there is a person who wants to say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I believe that you came and then that you lived a perfect life, and at the close of that, you died upon the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. Through your blood, I can be made clean. And I believe that even as you were buried on the third day, you rose again. And today that you sit at the right hand of the throne of God, the Father. Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my life that I might have a message and that you might send me to the people in my world who are lost and dying and desperate for some real hope. Lord, come into my life and I surrender to you. Be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you. Father, each one of us are at different places, but we all need to remember today that we are sent by you. Help us, God, to go. In Jesus' name, amen.